Good morning. That actually, watching that made me feel out of breath. So let me just catch my breath. How are we this morning?
Good.
Good. We're all right. Anyone feeling tired?
A little bit.
Anyone feeling alive and alert and enthusiastic? A few people? It's good. It's good. Okay, well, I'm going to start this morning by reading our scripture. I thought that was a good place to start. We're reading from Matthew 2 this morning. Matthew 2, verses 1 through to 12 this morning. So Matthew 2, verses 1 through to 12. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went on ahead of them until it stopped over a place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. Having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. Well, this morning I'm going to ask you to just turn to the people around you, and I want you to come up with two things. Firstly, what kind of gift would you give someone you love? And secondly, if you were to give a gift to a one-year-old, what kind of gift would you give them? So just answer those two questions among yourselves. A gift for someone you love and a gift to a one-year-old. Okay, how we go? Come up with a few answers. So what kind of gifts might you give someone you love?
A kiss.
A kiss? Yeah. A hug? I don't know about that one. What else? Maybe some actual physical gifts. Okay. Valentine's Day. What gifts might people receive on Valentine's Day? Chocolate. Sorry? Flowers. You like receiving flowers on Valentine's Day? You like receiving flowers on Valentine's Day?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh. Yep, so I've got some flowers here. I've got some chocolates here.
Oh,
I've got a bit of perfume here. And I've got some gold jewelry here. Okay. So that's interesting. So we're talking about love today. And so we've got our, on the wall, the last couple of weeks we've spoken about hope, we've spoken about joy, we've spoken about the light of hope, the light of joy, and today we're talking about the light of love. And so there's some great gifts here that you might give someone you love, some gifts. If you were gifting a one-year-old with a gift, what might you give them?
A toy.
A toy?
An iPad.
An iPad? Well, these days, yeah. An elephant? Oh. Soft toy? Yep. So like a dummy or a, you know, something to chew on maybe if they're teething? Yeah. So much love in this room today. So, you know, you'd give them something that they'd be able to use, right? You might give them a toy. Here you go. Got that. Okay. So, in our story, there's these wise men, these magi, coming from the east, and they bring gifts to Jesus, to baby Jesus, and they bring him gold. Got a bit of gold here. They don't bring him this kind of gold. Might be more practical for him, I don't know. And they bring him frankincense and myrrh. And I've got a little vial of frankincense and myrrh here this morning. So they bring him gold and frankincense and myrrh. And part of me is thinking, is that really practical for a child? Perhaps Mary might like some nappies or, you know, some blankets to wrap him in, some baby food. I don't know. Yep. But it's very, very interesting. Well, there's this story of some kindergartners, all right? And they've heard the Christmas story, and they hear the story about these wise men, and they've got some interesting insights. And one young boy said that the three wise men brought Jesus some gold stuff, but Legos would have been far better. But there's things in the story that we actually miss in Matthew 2. And there's a few ideas that have been passed along as truth, which in fact the Bible doesn't actually specifically assert. For example, there were three wise men. The Bible doesn't indicate that. It says there were three gifts, but it doesn't say how many magi there were, how many wise men there were. We assume there were three to match three gifts. There could be more, there could be less. They visited the baby Jesus in the manger. Many manger scenes portray this, with even our own manger scene. We've got wise men visiting Jesus in the manger and the sheep as well. In verse 16, it says, Herod killed all the children, two and younger, according to the time Magi gave him. So Jesus wasn't actually a newborn baby when he was visited by the Magi. And then in verse 11, it says the Magi came to the house, or oikos, to worship Jesus. So it was not the manger that the Magi visited, but a house, sometime after Jesus' birth in the manger. So there's things in the story that we can get mixed up, but despite all this, perhaps the most important thing a study of the passage reveals to us isn't the details surrounding Jesus' birth, but the difference between those who really worship Jesus and those who don't. The difference between those who really love God and those who don't. Christmas is typically the second biggest biggest season that people attend church, just behind Easter. But it's really important to understand that just because people go to church doesn't mean that they're really worshipping Jesus. And this morning we find in the passage that we've read at least three distinct responses to the birth of Jesus. And people today are still responding in the same ways. So we'll look at the responses. So the first one is the intellectual response of the religious leaders. In verse 4 it says, when Herod heard from the Magi that the Christ had been born, he gathered together the Jewish leaders and asked them where the Messiah was to be born. And they knew the answer because they'd studied it. They knew the answer. And in verse 5 it says, they said to him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for this is what has been written by the prophet. And you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the leaders of Judah, for out of you shall come forth a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. They quoted this verse from the prophet, and that's Micah 5:2. It's in the Old Testament of the Bible. If you go back into the Old Testament of the Bible, you can find it there. And they probably whipped this prophecy off the top of their heads. They would have known it. They didn't have to research it. They didn't have to look it up. And historians tell us that many of the Pharisees had the entire Old Testament law memorized. I don't know if you can imagine that, but it's memorizing. I don't know. It's memorizing a lot of book. I don't know if anyone's ever memorized pages and pages and pages of words. Jacqueline? Scripts, yeah. But it takes a lot of effort to be able to do that. But these men knew the right answers. They knew that Jesus was to be born in Bethlehem. But just because they knew the right answer doesn't mean that they responded in the right way to Jesus and to his birth. Did our scripture this morning say anything about the Jewish leaders going to Bethlehem? There's nothing about it. These men knew the right answers from the Bible. When word got around that the Messiah was born and they were asked where, they were able to give the right answer. But notice that they didn't do anything about it themselves. There's no record that they rejoiced or that they went to visit him and worship him. And in fact, many of these same men were probably the same ones who, a little over 30 years later, would become jealous of Jesus and reject him and put him to death. They knew the right answers about him, but that wasn't enough. It's just like Jesus said in Matthew 23, "You tie up heavy burdens and lay them on men's shoulders, but you yourselves are unwilling to move them with so much as a finger." They knew the right things to do to worship. They knew where the Christ was going to be born, but they didn't do it. Their so-called religion was just an intellectual game, not worship from their heart. And I think that sometimes we need to be confronted with this ourselves. Just because we can quote John 3:16 doesn't mean that we're saved. Just because we know the Christmas story and some of the details about it doesn't mean that we're going to heaven. Just because we go to church doesn't mean we're going to heaven. We can know all the right things and still be lost. And I hadn't heard this before, but I heard it recently, that it's been said that a lot of people are going to miss heaven by 6 inches, the distance from their head to their heart. The most important question for us today isn't, do you know the right things about the birth of Jesus? But it's, have you responded in the right way to Jesus? Have you repented of your sins? Have you trusted Jesus? Are you worshipping and serving him? We need to make sure that our response to Jesus isn't an intellectual one, like the religious leaders. We don't want an intellectual response to Christmas. So there's the response of the Pharisees and the intellectual leaders. And then there's the response of Herod. And we hear a lot about him in this particular passage. King Herod, how did he respond to the birth of Jesus? In verse 8, it says that he sent the Magi to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child, and when you have found him, report to me so that I too may come and worship him." It sounded, for all outward purposes, as though Herod was responding well to the birth of Jesus. He told them that he too wanted to come and worship him. He wanted to know where Jesus was so that he could adore him and worship him. But we know that in reality, he had something much more sinister in mind. And in the rest of the chapter, it tells the story. After the Magi found Jesus and worshipped him, an angel warned them not to return to Herod, and they left by another way. And then in verse 16, it says that Herod sent people out to kill all the male children who were in and around Bethlehem, who were 2 or under. Herod acted outwardly as though he would be a worshipper. But he actually wanted to find the child for his own selfish and evil purposes, to kill him, to ensure that he stayed king on the throne. His so-called worship of Jesus was hypocritical. And we need to guard ourselves against that as well. We need to guard ourselves against hypocritical worship. There may not be anyone here who is as wicked as Herod or who literally wants to kill whoever gets in their way. But it's still possible for us to be like him in essence, to put up a facade of worship, when the truth is that we're more concerned with our own personal agendas than really glorifying God with our religious efforts. Every person who comes to church needs to ask themselves from time to time this question: why am I here? In my heart of hearts, what do I come to church for? Why am I a part of the church? Am I really here to worship Jesus, or am I here to get something for myself? We need to make sure that we're not using church merely as a cover for our own personal agenda, and that we don't have that same hypocritical response that Herod had. So we've got the Magi, the Pharisees and how they responded to Jesus' birth. We've got King Herod and how he responded to Jesus' birth. And then we've got the Magi and how they responded to his birth. We actually don't know much about the Magi. We know that they're wise men from the East. But what we don't know about them isn't as important as what we do know about them. They had a heartfelt, worshipful response to Jesus. They really came to worship him. Someone might ask, how do we know that? And there's lots of evidence of genuine worship in this passage. Firstly, they had heartfelt joy. It said, when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And in Greek, it is literally exceeding, mega joy. There was no religious ritual. This was no, I'm going to church because I have to. It's no formal religion. This was worship from the heart. They went to see Jesus because they were filled with joy. Secondly, they were humble. It said, after coming into the house where they saw the child with Mary, his mother, they fell to the ground and worshipped him. And this happened often in Scripture. When people would worship God, they would fall to the ground before him. And when they fall to the ground, it means to fall down towards someone, to bow, to kiss towards the one you're worshipping. Like giving, like bowing before a king. So the very biblical word for worship involves humbling oneself towards the object of worship. So they were humble. They were joyful. It was heartfelt, their response. And also, they were willing to give. So they brought their gifts to him. They opened their treasures. They presented him with gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. And it's a really famous part of the story. A lot of people were able to list gold, frankincense, myrrh, all the gifts that they gave Jesus. And this is what our giving of Christmas presents is supposedly based around. Giving is a part of worship. When you really love a person, you want to give them gifts. Likewise, when you worship someone or something, you want to give. It's an act of worship. And even in the Old Testament, from the very beginning of the book of Genesis, we saw Cain and Abel offering their gifts to the Lord. Giving is an integral part of worship and love. I love this Christmas season because it does show how much people want to give to others, how much they want to share love with others. And I think people don't often understand why they're giving. I think people don't understand why they feel compelled to give at Christmas time. When you really love, when you delight in something or someone, you want to give. And then finally, there's obedience. The wise men displayed obedience. And having been warned by God in a dream not to return to Herod, the Magi left for their own country by another way. They showed their heartfelt worship in several ways, but this is the last sign of worship that is perhaps the best and most important. They did what they were told to do. They performed their acts of worship there in the house for Jesus. And when it came time to leave, they left and obeyed. They'd been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, and so they didn't. They went home another way. They did just what God told them to do. And that's important, that they showed their real worship for God by the way they obeyed him when they left the place of worship. If we really love him, if we really want to worship God, if we really want to worship Jesus, then we'll demonstrate it by doing what pleases him. It says in the Bible, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And in a very real way, we don't show how much we really worship God by what we do in church, in as much as the way we obey him when we leave, what we do when we walk out these doors. We can come to church. We can give our time. We can give our money. We can kneel. We can pray. We can sing. But if we leave and we don't live the way that God tells us to live, to love God, to love others, if we don't live that way and do the things that he tells us to do, we don't really worship him. So I wonder, what does this mean for us today? What does this mean for you today? A lot of us would say that we worship God, but what does your obedience say about how you're worshiping? Are you doing what he tells you to do? Is there an area in your life and perhaps you're being a little bit disobedient at the moment? Are you forgiving the people that God told you to forgive? Are you serving him in the way that he's called you to? Or do you keep putting it off? Is there anything that God has laid on your heart to do that you're not doing? When God told the wise men to go home by another way, they did it. And it was so important that they did, because the life of the Christ child could have been endangered if they didn't. So they obeyed God. It's important for each of us to obey God. And it's one of the most important signs of worship. If we really love God, if we really worship God, then when we leave today, we'll go out and do what God wants us to do. So if we look back at these characters in Matthew, in our scripture today, and the way they responded to the birth of Jesus, I wonder, which one do you resemble the most? Out of these characters, which one do you resemble the most? Have you had merely an intellectual response, like the Jewish leaders? Do you know all the answers, but you're not really worshipping Jesus? In your heart of hearts, are you sometimes hypocritical in your response? Because you act like you worship Jesus, but sometimes you have other motives. Or do you really worship him? If you say that you are you showing the signs of it by truly delighting him, by humbling yourself, by giving, by being obedient? I wonder this morning, which character in our story do you most identify with? And perhaps I think on different times, at different times I can identify with each of the characters. At different times in my life, sometimes I feel like I'm being hypocritical. At different times in my life, I feel like I know all the answers, but I actually, God is calling me to have a heart response. And then there's sometimes in my life where I experience this true joy to worship God and to obey him. And so I wonder this morning, where are you in your journey? And how can you show God that you really love him? That is the light of Christmas this week. The light of love, that we're able to turn and to worship God just like the wise men did. Well, we're going to sing another carol this morning. And as we sing this song this morning, I want you to just to reflect on this idea of love and this idea of loving God and how the wise men displayed this kind of love for Jesus. Who is he in yonder stall, at whose feet the shepherds fall? I'm going to invite us to sing this morning.